We're supposed to have baby dedication today and a couple other things, but them boys mean a lot to me. And Teresa was saying to her husband, she said, go get the Bible and get the tracks out of the car because Earl will kill somebody messing with his tracks. And this boy is 17 years old. My sister, I told you, my sister came to my driveway the other day when a car almost caught on fire and a couple guys followed her and came over to help. And young boys, I got to pass out tracts, and one boy said, I used to come to church there. And them same boys, they were in the firehouse. They came to the accidents and seen Earl and Jacob. And those same boys, I'm telling you, God's doing something.
Yeah.
And the Bible says we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. God, whatever you're going through this morning, God will use it for his glory. He'll use it for his glory if you let him. If you let him, he'll use it. If you don't, I mean, he's still going to get glory from it. And if you'll let him, and you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through, I'll tell you what God does. Whew, man. Lord's good. Mm. I was just shouting on the roof yesterday, thanking God. I said, Lord, please be with him. And I was getting calls and reports from Jacob and from Earl. And when I heard that Earl was joking and kidding around and everything, I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen the boys yet. And but I sent Josh, like I said, in my place because I had to get that done. And my Lord, take your Bible, look in Philippians. Maybe we'll finish this up this morning. I said last week, there's four things every man needs. Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's in verse 19. And then verse 13, these are verses you need to mark in your Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, you can overcome sin. You can overcome habits. You can overcome your cursing or your drinking or your drugs. You can overcome all these things through Christ. That was a verse I claimed because of the way I came up, all the stuff that I've done in the past. Somebody showed me that verse right after I got saved, and I still struggled with drinking. My father put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby, and I drank beer from the time I was a baby. My father would give me beer. And I'd go to the bars with my dad at 11, 12 years old and sit there and drink with him. And after I got, I was such a alcoholic that I'd stole Colt 45 trucks. I mean, a whole truck loaded with stuff. I would, guys would get out of the truck. I'd walk up and take the truck and go unload it. Up on my father's lot. And I'd have a supply of it at 13 years old. Whew. Boy, I think about where God brought me from. End up in jail 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, then in the prison 18 years old. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Couldn't read, couldn't write. And people tell me how hard it is. I said, man, don't tell me how hard it is.
That's right, amen.
Don't you tell me. Every other word was God blank this and God blank that. And doing the drugs, and I mean, we stole Air Force trucks. Did all kinds of stealing. If it wasn't nailed down, I'd steal it. My father said to me one time, he said, we need a telephone pole for the lot. I went out and stole the telephone pole in the middle of the night. Thief, stinking thief. I deserve a lot worse than what I got.
Amen.
Deserve a lot worse. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I ask God to clean up my life. When a person tells me that God can't clean up their life and they can't get it straight, come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Come on, get off of that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome anything in my life through Christ who strengthens me. It says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said only ones that did it, the Church of Philippi, it communicated, helping them out financially. That's why we support missionaries around the world. Amen. Paul was a missionary, and he was sent out by the Church of Antioch. And he went throughout Asia Minor and preaching the gospel and establishing churches. And that's why we support missionaries. That's why you see all the missionary people. I've had people say, why do we support so many missionaries? That's, man, that's the heartbeat of God. I mean, the gospel, I mean, folks, we want to see people saved around. I don't care what color they are. We're not in any kind of a white supremacy, black supremacy, or anything, you know, all this stuff. We describe all. We want to see all saved. I don't care what color they are. I want to see them saved. You get some churches that they only will try to reach their own kind. But we're trying to reach everybody. We're trying to reach folks around the world. And that's why it's so important. When I watch videos of kids in Africa starving, it tears me up. You know what bothers me, though? I don't hear about very many black churches sending missionaries out. That's what bothers me. It bothers me. They don't send missionaries to Africa. They don't send missionaries anywhere. It's like my brother said last week, they preach a prosperity gospel, and it's a social gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is whosoever will, let him come. And that bothers me that they don't do that. And you see all the, you know, prosperity guys. I watched a thing the other night about Jesse Jackson, his birthday, and he had Judge Mathis there. And Jesse Jackson did help Mathis. He helped what's his name? Who? No, yeah, he helped himself. He definitely helped himself. He definitely helped himself. He preaches a social gospel. That's what Jesse Jackson does, a social gospel. And it's intimidation. And it's a shame where the guys had an audience. They had an audience to tell people how to be saved. I believe they ought to stand up for what's right, but they had an audience to tell people how to get saved. They don't do that. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton was there. And but I thought what he could have done if he would have preached the gospel, maybe he don't even know how to be saved. Maybe he's not saved. But, and then you got others that's in the different organizations that preach their own social gospel and their own prosperity gospel. But our gospel, Paul said, if it be hid, you know, the gospel should be go out and tell whosoever will, let them come. Amen. It says, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again onto my necessities, not because I had desired a gift. And Paul saying, I didn't require it. I've had preachers call me up and say, well, you know what? You know, this church is not doing that well, but and I have to take a job. I don't want to take a job. And I said, I understand that, but you might have to do that. Paul did. Amen. Paul made tents. I said, I work every day. I mean, I'm a full-time pastor. The church pays me full-time, but I'm always doing something. Amen. And I'm trying to study, prepare, plus I'm also trying to do the job, make sure things are going on. But a lot of guys, they like Steve Irie. Steve Irie, I love Brother Steve. And I told Steve when he was evangelist, he traveled around. And he was traveling around, and then all of a sudden, he got into a financial mess. And I told him, he bought a brand new truck. I said, don't buy a new truck. Don't buy this stuff. He had to have everything just perfect, nice, and got in financial mess. And then he said, I'm just going to go back and get a job. I said, don't give up your meetings that you got. Don't keep that and work part-time here and there. He goes, brother, he said this to me. He said, preacher, I'm either full-time or I ain't. I said, you got to be willing to do whatever needs to be done. And Steve Irie's not even in church anymore. If he is, he's not there. I mean, he's there, but he ain't. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent unto you, as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And people helped out, and they tried to help the ministry, and it says it's well-pleasing to God. It's a sacrifice acceptable. And when you give to God, and you even if you put something in the plate and the church misuses that money, you still gave it to God. Amen. And I'm not saying our church, we don't try not to misuse anything. We try to make sure everything's accountable. And you can go to our treasurer anytime and ask her, where did this money go? Where did this happen to this? And what happened? You can, and she'll show it to you. I remember when I first took over the church, I mean, we had a secretary here. And I'd say to her, I walk up to her, and I was only here about a year at a time, 2 years, maybe up to 2 years, and she was the accountant and secretary, and I'd go up to her and I'd say, how are we doing financially? Can we get a financial report? She said, we're doing fine. And I said, how's the money? She goes, it's there. And I said, can I see it? Well, I don't have it right now. She would never let me know what was going on. Finally, I had to go take the books away from her. She stopped coming to church, and she's taking up the money and everything, and I had to go over to her house. And I had to sit down with her, and I said, sis, I said, I love you, and I care about you. And I said, but, you know, if you're not going to come to church and everything, you can't be the treasurer and the accountant. Amen. And I said, I'm going to have to. And she went in the back, and, man, she was throwing stuff around. She was mad as a hornet. And she never come back to church. And she was under the old pastor, and the old pastor was sitting there. And the old pastor was sitting right at the table when I came, and he looked at me. He didn't want me to have it easy, and I understand that. And that, not because he was a devil or anything. He just didn't want me to have it easy, because actually he built the building, and he bought the property, and he did all that. And he didn't want me to have it so easy that, you know, we should have that same attitude about our kids. We don't want our kids to have it just easy.
Amen.
You want them to work for it. You want it that way, they appreciate it. And I'm sitting at the table with him, and I'm telling her, and she's in the back room throwing a fit. So I'm sitting at the table with him. He's smiling. He smiled the whole time at me. He's sitting there smiling. I looked over at him. He goes, it ain't easy being a pastor, is it? You got to make decisions and do things that you don't want to do.
That's right.
He's smiling at me. And I said, no, it ain't easy, is it? And he goes, nope. Yeah. That's why I always say to people, welcome to my world, man. And I remember Earl Hughes used to get up here and say, give yourself the hard things. And most of the time, we try to take the easy road.
That's right.
We're always trying to take the easy road. Now, if there's some way of doing it better and easy, that's fine. But a lot of times, we try to take the easy road rather than doing the right thing.
Amen.
Paul did the right thing, and it wasn't easy. If you read your Bible, you say, oh, Paul, he had it made. I mean, he was financially supported. And I mean, he drove around in a Lexus, and, you know, it ain't that, man. Paul, he was a pioneer. And some of the men, you know what, folks? We owe people.
Amen.
I owe people. You owe people. And what I mean by that is that, man, somebody plowed the way for us.
Amen.
And here we are sitting in a building this morning. We've got air conditioning, got patio pews. Somebody paved the way for us. And we've got it made. We had a pastor just dropped Jesse off the other day. He came by here, and we talked for a while. And they're trying to get the church. They've been established for a while, and they're trying to get the church up and trying to get things going and trying to get more property. And I showed him around a little bit, and another guy, and they said, man, boy, I wish we had this, something like this. And I said, somebody paved the way for us. And I said, we were able to, you know, build on what they paved the way. That's what you're supposed to do, build on what somebody's done. And in your own Christian life, you're supposed to be building.
Amen.
You're supposed to be building on a daily basis. What, I didn't turn my mic on or something? So you're supposed to be building on a daily basis. And if you're not building, I'm talking about in the right way, doing the thing. The Bible tells us you're building something. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says you're building something. Now, it'd be terrible if it's your mansion, because we get to heaven, there'd be a lot of, it'd be like when the housing market hit in Delaware, be a lot of unfinished buildings sitting around. I don't know what this is, but it talks about maybe it's your body. And it says this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, no other foundations, look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3 of verse 11, no foundations Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, it says wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work by which he hath built thereupon. So you're building a reputation. You're building a testimony. You're building that. Your testimony, you got to build. I want our church testimony. We've been building. We want it to be good testimony. Amen. To our community, to our area. I don't want people to say, you know, that church down there, all they do is, you know, fight. Everybody runs around, does all kinds of crazy stuff. And we got folks in this church that bring a bad testimony against the church. Right. I've been out and I've been knocking on doors and talking to somebody, and they say, does so-and-so go to your church? And when they say that, when somebody says that, I always go, oh, God. Oh, God, help us. When they ask me, does so-and-so go to your church? I always go, yeah. If I know that they do, I always go, yeah. And they go, oh, what a blessing. I go, thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Amen. But then I've had it where a guy says, you know so-and-so, he goes to your church? I say, yeah. See, you know he's dealing drugs. And I go, he drives a church van. We're building something. What are you building? Are you building a testimony? You're building a testimony for your children to leave behind, and you leave a good testimony for the kids to build upon. My grandkids, they think I can do anything. My grandkids, they think I can do no wrong, because my daughter Becky and all my daughters, they say, and my son, they said, well, Pop-Pop said, Pop-Pop this, Pop-Pop that. And they said, and Becky's even said, Pop-Pop, he doesn't run this house. And I don't try to run their home. God knows I don't try to run their home. But the kids think I do. They think I'm in charge of everything and everybody, right. And they think I'm in charge. They say, "Ah, he's if Pop-Pop says it, it's got to be right." I can't let him down.
Amen.
I don't want them to usurp the authority of their parents. I don't do that. Amen. I always tell them, you better listen to your mama and you better listen to your daddy, or Pop-Pop will whip your honey. Well-pleasing, a sacrifice acceptable. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can honestly say I've seen the Lord do it. One of the greatest promises in the Bible. This is one of the greatest promises. Where if you trust the Lord, God will supply your need.
Amen.
Physical, material, financial, mental, amen, spiritual. He'll supply it if you trust him. You can claim that verse. I said four things man needs. Number one is salvation. I wrote this down from class. Salvation, comfort. Number two, assurance. Assurance, knowing that you're saved. Knowing that the Lord's coming back one day. Assurance. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. Let's look at these verses. Let's look at them. Salvation, look at Ephesians chapter 4, or 3. Actually, 2. Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why we believe in eternal security. Once you get saved, your name's already there. You're already in heavenly places together. Sit together. Made us sit together in heavenly places. You know, to God, he sees you sitting at the Lord's Supper table right now. He sees you sitting there. You're already there. Your name's on the table. You've already got your place. It says, heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's his mercy, his great love. And that's what man needs. They need salvation, number one. And number two, they need comfort. Genesis chapter 50, look at verse 20. Genesis 50, 20. Man needs comfort. And the Bible tells us that God's going to comfort us in 1 Corinthians. It says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians that God's going to comfort us with the comfort wherewith or comfort other. He says for us to comfort others wherewith the comfort we get from him. And when you're going through trials, I know a lot of folks have been in this church going through trials. And this past year, our church has been through a heavy trial. And God's comforted us. And we get comforted from each other. And I look around the room, I can see, I know what people have been through. I know. I've been there with them. And I pray for them. Look at verse 20. It says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's Joseph testifying to his brothers. He's saying, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's comforted me in that. And I didn't have revenge in my heart to get back at you. I didn't have that. I don't wish evil on you. And the Bible tells you if you wish evil on somebody, maybe God will just, you know, the Bible says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You let God handle it. And he's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to handle it. But if you desire to see it and you glory in their suffering, then God says, I might back off on that. Because I don't like the way you look and the way you act towards it. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. God sees all that stuff. He knows that stuff, man. When you finally realize, hey, God knows what my heart is. He knows how I am. And I always say, God, you know I'm wicked as hell. You know in my heart I'm wicked. And you know, Lord God, please have mercy on me. And look what the Bible says, and you can write this verse in there with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2. He says, grace be on you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? So if you try to find comfort in a drug or a pill or you know, getting texting somebody or talking on the phone all the time. No, there is comfort when you encourage one another on the phone. There's nothing wrong with that, texting one another. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you don't spend all your time doing that. Amen. And you can comfort people. I call preachers up, and I try to comfort preachers and try to encourage them. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. It says, who comforteth us in all our what? I don't know why. It's hard to explain. Yesterday after I finished praying and crying, begging God, I got a peace that everything was going to be all right. I was telling the Lord, no more funerals, Lord. No. No more. No more. Please. I had a couple hundred of them. And it tears me up. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. I know there's going to be more funerals. I know that. But get my eyes adjusted here. Need assurance, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. Look back at verse 35. It said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And all that, that's what we die to ourselves. And that which was sowed, soweth, thou soweth not that body that shall be, but beareth grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. The Bible tells us that God puts his seed inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at this. Ephesians 4. And look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And God seals his seed inside you, and that's called a circumcision. And you have a circumcision made without hands. And when God put his seed, when you accepted him as your Savior, his seed is inside there, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says that it's an incorruptible seed that he puts inside of us. Take your Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. He puts that incorruptible seed inside you, and then he seals it to the day of redemption. I thank God he does. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit on the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He put his seed inside you, and then he sealed it, and the Bible says he does a circumcision made without hands, according to Colossians chapter 2. He seals it, and that you can never lose your salvation. I've said this before. I said, how many Christians in this world? There's 10%, and there's 7 billion people on the planet, and there's 700 million people that are saved, if that. And I'd say 10% of that 700 million really know that they're sealed, really know that they have eternal security. Out of that 700, so that's 70 million, if it's that. And now they know that they're eternally secure. They got assurance, and they got assurance from God that everything's going to be all right. I'm sorry about sniffling and everything. My Lord. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. And the last thing that a man needs is wisdom. Wisdom. And that's James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look what the Bible says. We need wisdom to live, folks. We need wisdom on a daily basis. You need wisdom how to raise your family, how to love your wife, how to love your husband. You need wisdom in all those things, how to work a job. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unabradeth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom. Below verse 4 or 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work. It says her perfect work, patience. Women are more patient than men, supposedly. Women are more patient than men. Because why? They got babies. They raise children. And you got to be patient. You got to be patient with a child. You can't make a child say, get up there and walk, boy. Come on. Stop crawling. Get up and walk. A man's like, you know, like a man works different than a woman. Like when Jordan, my grandson Jordan, fell off the truck and they knocked him out. And knocked him out, and he split his head open on the rocks. I picked him up, and I told Gavin, I said, go get his mama. And I carried him in the house, blood running out of his head. I laid him on the kitchen floor, and Linda, my wife, she just went crazy. She went, I said, he's fine, just put a little Band-Aid on it. He's fine. And blood running all over the floor and everything. We're wiping the floor, blood and everything. And I said, Jordan, I smacked him in the face. Hey, Jordan, you all right? Yeah, Papa, yeah. Becky said, I'm going to the hospital. I said, you don't need to go to the hospital. He needs stitches. No, he don't, you know. But anyway. Well, maybe men are a little patient when it comes to that. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and endure entire, wanting nothing. It said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and unabradeth not. And it says, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And why I'm saying a double-minded man, you've got to be on track when it comes to knowing God's going to do it. I'm going to trust him. Better trust the Lord for confidence in man.
Amen.
Don't be double-minded. Well, is he going to? No, he ain't going to do it. Oh, yeah, you've got to get to the place where you can trust him and say, I know God's going to do something. And if not, then that's not what he wants. You got to trust him. Go back to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll finish this thing up. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father. I like that. Our Father. You know, you hear people say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm thinking, and then when you go to funerals and people want to say that, and then they say, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I look around the room, I think, how many people really, really know God as their shepherd?
Yeah.
How many people really know God as their Father? I want to know him in a personal way.
Amen.
I want to know my Father can whoop anybody's Father.
Amen.
And I know it.
Amen.
Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's to salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute. No, it's not saying that. It's giving recognition in Christ. He says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. There it is. Paul then goes to Rome, and Paul ends up in Rome, but he says those of Caesar's household. You know, the gospel went all the way into Caesar's household.
Amen.
The gospel is not bound.
Hey.
It's not bound.
Amen.
It can move, brother.
That's right.
The gospel move.
Amen.
Thank God for the gospel.
Amen.
Goes into Caesar's household. Caesar was a nut. Burning Christians, put them on a pole. Jews and Christians, put them on a pole. They are, you know, we went through the thing about Adolf Hitler being a type of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is coming. Adolf Hitler's number when he came back from World War I was his dog tag was 555. Antichrist is going to show up. It's going to be 666. And Caesar had to be 111 if it's numbered. Because God numbers things. God takes care of numbers. So when the Antichrist shows up, the number of a man, 666. Hitler, 555, killed Jews, killed Christians. So bloody killer. You know, you got to watch out for people when they're always saying peace, peace, peace.
Right.
The Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction coming. They're always talking about peace, but there's a verse, I think, I can't remember where it's at, but it says, when they speak of peace, they're preparing for war. Everybody talks about peace. There is no peace till the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen.
It says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they have Caesar's household. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, that God is alive. The gospel is not Father, bound. And I pray, God, help us to lead people to Jesus Christ. Give us fruit. Give them boys, God, fruit. And I pray use their, Father, what they've been through this past weekend for your glory and your honor. Help them, Father, not to ever turn their back on you. Help them always want to love you and serve you. I pray for Jacob's brother and family that you save them. And, Lord, I pray you move in their lives. And Lord, realizing that life is short. And I pray for all the Cole family, God. Be with them, God, protect them. Thank you for little Earl, God. Thank you for his testimony. And I pray, God, help him to continue to build upon it. Help us to build upon the testimony, God, you've given us. And help us not to let people down, let our family down, our children down. Help us, Lord God. And if somebody has done that, Lord, I pray help them to get back up and start building again. And well, thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, save that soul. Amen.